Welcome to the Tile SM podcast, number 350, would you believe? Don't know if there's a cricket analogy in there. I don't know if teams score 350 runs, not out. But anyway, we're on our 350th show. Here to talk about, well, a couple of losses, but really one loss in particular. It's a good egg, actually. Good guy. You might know of him. Mr. Ross Webber, how are you?
How's it going? Good to be chatting to you again. I'm trying to think of any American sports where you can score 350 points, but even in basketball, you know, where they score every seconds, they don't get that high up. It's more like 130 is the max.
No, I don't think there is there 350? Darts? No, I don't really know darts.
Darts, yeah, okay, yeah, but I think you're coming down with darts. Anyway, tweet at us if there's a sport where you, you know, you're aiming for 350.
Yeah, I mean, we always settle for 350 or more listeners, and if you're listening to this, you're one of our target audience. So we massively appreciate that. Talking of appreciating things, massive shout out as always to probably our biggest fans, really, ZCZ Films, who once again have stumped up some money to sponsor us and allow us to do all the things that we're doing. So huge thanks to them. Right, let's get into the recap then with. A little trip to Cambridge to discuss.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, Ross. Where do we start with this one? It wasn't good, was it? It wasn't really ideal. I know for a lot of Reading fans, it was on Sky. For a lot of unfortunate neutrals, it was on Sky as well. And maybe that was a problem. I don't know. Maybe it was a game too far in this block of games. Maybe it was kind of the very first game of pre-season in terms of kind of completing the squad in the way that Sellers wants it to be, having had the transfer window slam shut. We did decide that window slam. So, I mean, yeah, what was your kind of take on the game overall, really? Let's start with that, I guess.
I felt like I got quite a different take on the game the other day to some of the rest of the fan base. Do you know what's funny? The BBC described it as an entertaining game. And I wouldn't necessarily go along with that. But then when I look back at the stats and everything, you know, lots of shots for both teams, 30 shots overall. No team really dominating possession. Reading doing their best to, you know, try and hold on to it in less dangerous areas like they often do. But just a tricky one, isn't it? And until we start winning away games, it's really hard to encourage people to be positive about it, especially if they're in the stadium. I do understand that. You know, you've gone on poor Sim, who's been all around the country.
No, not poor Sim. It's up to him to spend his money. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he wants to not miss a game for the next 25 years, then that's on him.
You know? All right. So outside of Sim, then, poor people who have been to all of the away games in like the last 2 or 3 years, you know, I would understand, like, I don't think this was some sort of performance like Port Vale. Like, I thought against Port Vale, we were just completely toothless, and it was clear that we were at the end of an era with some of the players who were on the pitch that day. I don't think it was that. Kelvin had a chance that curled just beyond the post. There was obviously the chance where I think Vickers, Elliot, and maybe Nibs all put the ball right at the goalkeeper when they had a lot of goal to aim at. So it's just one of those kind of strange games, you know, whereby I didn't think that we were brilliant. I didn't think that we were terrible. I didn't think Cambridge were great. And we just didn't get the bounces on the night, I thought. So frustrating one, but I guess, again, I'm not pushing the panic button too hard just yet.
I think as a game, so if we take it as a single game, you know, without contradicting myself, across the season, it was easily the worst we played. I'd say probably as equal to, if not worse than Port Vale, in my opinion. I think a lot of the frustration is down to this kind of seemingly never-ending away curse. Is that even right? I don't know. But like, just it is quite shocking when you look at it. And I had. One of my mates, one of my very good friends, is from Cambridge. So we were texting through the games. He was watching it. He's not particularly a Cambridge fan, but kind of follows them. And he was saying, you know, I don't recognise it, because he used to come down to Reading a lot before we all had kids and all this sort of stuff. And him saying, look, I don't recognise this team. And, you know, remember we went to kind of, because he came to me with Fulham away when Ajari went on a rampage. And it's like, God, you know, since that Fulham away game, we've had maybe, what, one or two wins away. And it really is quite, yeah, quite concerning at this stage. I think you summed it up really well. Like, it was really frustrating. And, you know, the Nibs chance right at the end where it somehow hit the underside of the bar and then wasn't given. You know, goal line technology gives that. I'm pretty convinced of that. People disagree, but I'm sure that goal line technology, enough of the ball has crossed the line to give that. We get a draw out of that and we kind of almost reverse the patterns that we're seeing in terms of conceding late and actually getting something out of the game late, then the dialogue changes a little bit. I think, you know, generally with football and with Reading fans in general, it's quite hyperbolic. So there's a lot of stuff that was said that I just thought was quite over the top in terms of sellers and everything else. Do I think he got the team selection right? No. I would have just started with Kelvin purely based on form. You know, he scored 5 goals. I think our next top scorer is own goal, which would be lovely to sign if we could do that. So on that, you know, he's done enough to start. I mean, we're gonna talk about a little feature that we've got later on that we picked up from somewhere else, actually. But, you know, in terms of that team that he put out on Monday night, do you think that is currently the best available team? Could he have done better with this selection? And ultimately, do you think that those players or certain players, which we might talk about in a minute, did enough to keep the shirt moving forward?
So I think that the midfield and the attack, I honestly feel that a lot of players are playing well enough to come into the squad, to keep their positions, to do whatever. And there's lots of different combinations we can do there. Wing will probably come right back into the squad once he's fit enough after the international break. Elliot can play in two or three different positions in the formation that Sellers is playing. So in terms of the forwards, I'm actually just more happy about the depth than anything. There actually is a little bit of depth. Totally understand the frustration with Kelvin not starting on Monday. Of course, you know, you want your best player starting. It kind of smacks of the Lucas Schell debate when Paul Ince was the manager. But I think the Sellers said something about him having played a lot of football in the last few weeks and wanting to make sure that he got through, you know, the first few weeks of the season in good conditions. But, you know, when you've got a 2-week break, it's a little bit tricky to sympathize with that. You'd rather have Kelvin come on, score in the first 15 minutes, and then we can sit on it. I actually think the places that I've had some concerns so far have been in the defense, even though it has tightened up since Abby came in. I think not having Bindon right now is a real issue for us. Bindon is basically unlocking the entire right side of the field for Reading at times. I think that Mbenge had his best game, or the best game for a right back for Reading this season against Stevenage, when Bindon was feeding him passes all day and Bindon was just waiting for the press to come to him so that Mbenge had more space to get out to the right. So I really think losing Bindon has been quite a big issue. And that's a little bit concerning because he's an 18-year-old center back, but it just shows you how important center backs who can pass the ball being on the correct side of the field for their foot. It shows you how important that actually is to a team's build up play, right? And then the other place whereby maybe our team isn't at its strongest right now would probably be left back for me with Matt Carson. I think that he's put in some really good deliveries. I think that he's got a great eye for a pass. Feel like I'm talking about Tom McIntyre. But defensively, you know, again, it's just like at the moment, not completely capable of doing everything we need, both on the offensive and defensive side at the same time. But Clinton Mola came in and really had a mare of a debut in his substitute appearance. So what do you do? Yeah.
And that, you know, that was, I can't remember the game, but it was similar where you don't stop the ball at source. And realistically, if he just goes out to that player and either puts just a little bit of pressure on him, or I hate to say it, but, you know, takes one for the team in terms of just doing a tactical foul, that goal probably doesn't happen because it's.
Well, my concern was he just got ran past. Like there, like it didn't. It seemed like maybe he had moved his weight in the wrong position already. But Mola to me just looked like he got himself into a foot race with the Cambridge player who provided the assist and didn't just lose that foot race. Got absolutely demolished in it. So that was a concern.
And that, you know, the left back is something we'll come back to, because obviously we had Guinness Walker come back into the frame for the under-21s against Arsenal the weekend, who didn't do very well at all, actually, given that great result they had against Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. So there are question marks. And I think, realistically, from a personal point of view, the frustration, and you mentioned depth, and that's right. I think for some fans, there's not enough experience, but the counterpoint to that would be, well, hold on, we've had experience over the last 2-3 seasons, and we've talked about this before, certainly in terms of experience in midfield, that's got us nowhere. So, you know, this is a kind of a building block, really. And, you know, when we look at what is potentially the strongest 11 and the subs kind of later on in the pod, we'll kind of unpack that a little bit more. But yeah, certainly the wing backs are, or the you know, the right and left backs are a concern at the moment. I think the other thing as well is you've got to look at the kind of the coverage that Mola didn't have at that point. You know, he hasn't just picked up the ball from the sideline. He's kind of run a little bit further from midfield to take that through. So you'd like to think that someone will be able to go across and at least put some pressure. But It was a disappointing end to what was essentially a disappointing performance for Reading. And I think, you know, 2 weeks, we've really got to understand that we're in this league now for the foreseeable. It's not, as I said in my award-winning column, which isn't actually award-winning, you know, we've really got to shape up now, and we've got to realise that this is our level for a season. Could be lower if we carry the way we're going. I don't think we will. I think we will pick up results quite quickly. But it doesn't disguise the fact that this away form is really becoming a bit of a problem for us.
Yeah.
Just a quick mention on Ipswich. I couldn't go in the end. I had a migraine. I know everyone feels sorry for me. I had planned to go. I had purchased my ticket like a long-standing citizen should. Did you, regardless of the result, what did you think about kind of the performance level there? Because I felt it was quite good. You know, Ipswich had some really, I say, unexpected players in there, but, you know, players that you probably think would be looking to push into their league team, if you like. Mm-hmm. We showed a lot of resilience there, I think. You know, we scored, equalised late on, rather, through Big E. The big talking point were the penalties, which were quite ridiculous. But having a 0% success rate in my footballing career from the penalty spot, I am not going to criticise them too much. What did you think of that overall? Is it a good thing we're out of the cup? Is it something that you'd want to maybe look at and go, do you know what, it would have been quite nice to go on a run? Kind of where are we at with that game, really?
I don't think it's a good thing that we're out of the cup, because we'll take any sort of, like, we'll take any wins right now, right? Like, Sellers have been talking this week about trying to improve the mentality as a club, and like trying to get into that winning mentality. That being the thing that we need to develop. So I think any football matches that we can win right now are ones that we want to win. And so I thought it was a good performance. I think that Ipswich had that pretty handled in the second half until Kelvin obviously terrorized his retreating defender at that time and nipped in to score. So I think that was, you know, that's a really, really good goal. I'm a little bit.
There's a lot of confidence, right? You know, he doesn't score that, and he's got, you know, at least two players going, why didn't you pass, mate? You know,
right, exactly. Yeah,
he had to score that, and he did. Fair play, no problems with that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's actually a good point. If I'm Kalen Vickers, I'm watching as Kelvin scores more and more. And there's been a few where Kelvin scored and Vickers has been in a great like place for the, you know, the run to divert attention or whatever. But yeah, he's an under-celebrator too. So you sometimes wonder if Vickers is, a little bit miffed off by that. But I think he's just quiet. It would have been nice to win that, but I think it wouldn't have necessarily been deserved on the night. Although I do think it was a good performance from the kids to hang in there with a team with a lot of positive momentum right now, right? And you know, like you talked about in the Cambridge game, the Harvey Nibs crossbar hit that may well have crossed the line. If we win on penalties this week against Ipswich, if we don't, you know, go for field goals when we're playing penalties, and then we get that goal at the end from Nibs against Cambridge, I think the atmosphere is very different right now. I thought it would be a slow start, and I still think that, and that's kind of what's happened now. I do think that we could still have a period like we had, I think in the, maybe in the 2013 season, and then also really last season, where we'll come back, you know, like after the first international break and play a lot better. So we score a few more goals. Team looks a lot better. I would have liked to beat Ipswich, but they're a good team and kids taking penalties. Sometimes that happens.
Well, I mean, the most frustrating thing, I was just checking there. Ipswich ended up drawing Wolves at home in the next round. And to be honest, I would have loved that. You know, look at the way Wolves are kind of the general feeling around the club, which is, it's not dissimilar to where we've been and where we are, I guess. But that would have been a really nice home tie for say those younger players and those fringe players to get into and take on a Premiership team or rather Premiership team in status anyway. I think that just to wrap up the recap, the one thing I always feel about cup matches and one thing that I always used to get really annoyed about with Sir Steve is that he never took the cup seriously. He didn't want anything to do with them. And for me, you know, I know we lost, but one of the greatest days I've had as a Reading fan was going to the semi-final against Arsenal. You know, that was just a great day, and being involved in those kind of games is, you know, it's quite something when you go on a run like that in the cup, and it, like you say, it just builds. There's something about it. It doesn't matter what cup it is, but the further you go, the deeper you go, the kind of the greater confidence you have around, and most times it kind of affects the league form in a positive way as well. So,
I was just going to say, I think it's encouraging that Sellers did take the cup seriously, right? Like, it might have looked a bit suspect before the Millwall game, and we didn't know how well some of the younger players could play. But it's encouraging. It's always fun going on a cup run, and maybe this means that he'll take the FA Cup seriously as well in January. Maybe the Papa Paint Trophy or whatever it's called. Take that one seriously. It's just another way for us to try and, you know, build some momentum, actually get some wins and really test out the pretty new squad that we have in many ways.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of games coming up. You know, we've got those games in the Papa John's Trophy in the group stages. Play Exeter, Swindon and Arsenal under 21s, which is
it's strange.
That's a great thing, it's quite degrading. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's like being in the Spanish second division.
For some of those under 21s to get revenge because they lost, you know, 3-0 at the weekend to that side. So we'll see what happens. But certainly tickets for the first two games, not that I work for the ticket office, but they're now on sale. So go and grab those if you want to. We haven't got a mailbag this week, but we are going to take a very short break. And then we're going to come back and talk about the transfer window.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right, Ross, transfer window slammed shut, closed, finished, ended, whatever, last Thursday. Brought in a fair few players. I'm not going to go through them all individually, but I was kind of interested, really, out of the group of players that we've brought in, your kind of your main standout, not just kind of how they've performed since they've come in, but who has the most potential this particular season out of the crop of players that we've brought in.
I'm going to pick out two rather than one. I know it's just immediately bonking the assignment, but I'm going to say that combined, the bringing in of Savage and Elliot is both encouraging in terms of the level of talent and the step down that we're encouraging players to make, you know, like regardless of what you think of our club and everything, it is a step down to come from Carrington over in Manchester or from the, I think it's Colney in Chelsea where they practice. It is a step down to come from those training grounds and then come and play League One football, obviously. So to make that step down, you have to be encouraged. And I have to assume that they have been encouraged and assured of the role they'd have in the team, the chance they'd have to develop and all of that by Mark Bowen, by the Ruben Sellers, by the recruitment team. So I just think that getting those two players to commit their long-term futures to Reading it is impressive and it's encouraging. Those would be my two standouts for me, Savage and Elliot.
I mean, you know, there's a bit of experience in there. You know, people going about, we haven't bought experience, but, you know, we brought in David Button, brought in Harley Dean, obviously Sam Smith, you would class as experienced at this level, particularly Harvey Nibbs as well. So when people talk about experience, I mean, I don't know, I always get this image of people wanting loads of journeymen, which, as I said earlier,
Right.
really worked for us. I guess when you look at the other signings we've got, you can compartmentalize them in terms of, whether or not they're going to go straight into under 21s squad, or whether they're going to be sort of in straight away in terms of the first team or on the fringes of that. Obviously, we mentioned, or you
Yeah.
mentioned, Tom Bindon earlier. I know you're a big fan of him. He was originally brought in for the under 21s, but
I
has
was just
been
going to say that, and I found it quite
dumped
interesting
straight in.
with the squad being as young as it is. Like, it's actually a little bit difficult at the moment to determine which of those players will end up in which team, and by January it might not matter. They might basically be integrated. But I've got a quick point on Button too, whenever you're ready, but you keep going.
But now you go for it. You tell me about that now.
Button, right? Yeah, I think I've worked out why he was recruited, and it lies in him being outside of his own defensive third during the Cambridge game multiple times, which was a little bit concerning. Like, sometimes it's my dad's a little bit more of an old school football fan, and he'll say, oh, building out for the back, that's just leading to like chances for the other team a few times a game. And I don't subscribe to that. Like, I think that chucking the ball down the other end is just leading to the other team like pressuring your goal more. But all of that said, Button seems to have been brought in because he can pass. He's very, very calm on the ball. There were a few times when somebody got within like a yard or two of him and he didn't seem fussed at all. And then he was being asked to come really far forward and split Abbey and Dean. So when we get Bindon back, that actually might work quite nicely. So hasn't played a lot of football in the last few years, but maybe he's been recruited for his feet. What are we, an elite team? Jeez.
Niall, who is Reading 106, guilty us, but Reading on Twitter, who I know very well, he made the point after the Cambridge game that no one's actually talking about Button, which shows you what a good job he's doing. And actually, Joe, we didn't even talk about it in the recap, but the save that he made with his face on 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, I read an interview with a goalkeeper years ago, and they were like, for the first 5 minutes, you're just adjusting to the pace of the game. But like, to make a save that quickly with reflexes was quite something, really.
Yeah.
Kind of looking at the other players we brought in, we've got Billy Clark in the under 21s, Charlie Wellens, obviously Jaden Wareham's come with not hype because he's already done it with us in terms of scoring the goals, but he's coming very highly rated, and he was very good. Him and Billy Clark in particular, when I saw them the other week against Newcastle, Rashisha, who I really, really like. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, if you're looking overall, Savage is the one that really I think a lot of hopes will be pinned on, because he's only going to get better. He's going to play pretty much every game unless he's injured or suspended, which is, hopefully not going to happen. Lewis Wing at this level is a stunning piece of business. And as I said, we will talk about the preferred midfield later on. But there is a nice mix there. And I think realistically now, there's not many players that you'd look at there and say they're gambles. We don't know how this is going to work out. When we signed Danny Drinkwater a couple of seasons ago, I remember being on this pod as a guest and saying, look, I think it will work out. How wrong was I? But he had some very good games for us. But those kind of signings could be a gamble, could go either way. These players are kind of, they're not identical, but in terms of what the Reading way is, in inverted commas, and how we used to build squads up, these are kind of similar signs to the ones when we had kind of successful periods. The only problem with that is that we're not adding them to an established group who are full of confidence already. We're adding them to a group that have basically been crap for the last sort of two or three seasons. So there's a lot of potential, but also there's a lot of kind of anticipation and a little bit of pressure on these players to perform, because ultimately that's what we need them to do, right?
I think the contract lengths kind of speak to the squad that they're trying to build, right? So the guys who might be more of a gamble are players like maybe Mukeru, or at this stage Mola. This is really unfair. I've seen so very little of
Yeah,
him.
Mola would be the one to pick up.
But like those players, and Button maybe as well, like who we weren't sure about before, and they've come in on 1 year deals, right? Or loans. So the players that are actually getting the long contracts, players like Elliot, players like Savage, these are the players that I think they want to build the team around moving forward. It is a rebuild, as we talked about a few weeks ago. There's always pain in a rebuild. And it's always nice to have like some existing squad members for the new players to come in and sort of interact with and get a sense for the team and everything. But we just didn't really have much of that atmosphere going anymore. So yeah, I think they're trying to build the team and the team atmosphere again around the signings that they've made for longer periods. And they are actually taking they're taking the riskier players on shorter contracts, which is good.
I mean, you know, in terms of the one that you're most intrigued or excited about, you know, we talked about what is potentially the best signing. Which one of those players are you most excited about seeing in the starting 11? Because for me, it's Ballard. You know, you're giving a young player the number 9 shirt. I don't know much about him personally. Obviously, I know he made his debut, you know, very young in the Premier League last year under Sellers at Southampton. But for me, I'm really excited to see what you can do with the front line. Would that be the same for you, Ross, or have you got someone else in mind?
Just boring, and I like small spaces and passes and things like that. I'm just going to bring up Tyler Bindon again. I really think he's awesome. I really think the team has gotten much worse since he came out of the lineup. It might sound like nonsense, and I think that Harley Dean has actually been okay on the defensive side, and like, he does a job too from set pieces and stuff. So I can't really knock down Harley Dean for anything other than he's not Tyler Bindon. And because he's not Tyler Bindon and he doesn't have his passing range, his confidence on the ball, there is just a deficit of a passing ability over there. And I just think that especially with this sort of style whereby you sort of go around and you try and find the pass into the middle to make a very quick vertical attack, you just need those players who can hold the ball, wait for the chance to develop, and then pass it into a dangerous spot in the middle of the opposition half. That's who Bindon is. And so I like build up play, and Bindon is from what we saw, he really knows what he's doing there. So he's definitely the signing I'm most excited about, which is really lame. He's an 18-year-old center back, but he just lets us do things that other players haven't shown they can do so far.
Well, look, I mean, you know, it is ultimately down to Sellers to pick the best team that he thinks and, you know, kind of keep consistency in terms of those players. And that's not, you know, we've not had that evidence by the fact that, and I'm sure you read this week, Ross, but we've used so far this season in what, 6 games? 26 players in the league. The highest across all 92 clubs. So that's either concerning or brilliant. I think based on the performances, it's probably somewhere in the middle because we haven't found our level. You know, the squad is literally just being completed. We brought in quite a few players in the weeks or the week leading up to the transfer window closing. So now what we want to see, and I guess, you know, what he wants to see is consistency within that team. Talking of that, RFC latest, not us, so we're not taking any credit for this whatsoever, it wasn't a Tailhurst End thing. The RFC latest on Twitter, they came up with, and they kind of ran a poll about the best players that all seemingly Reading fans wanted to see in the team. Okay, so I'm going to read these out to you. No surprising goal, we've got Button. Then you've got Mbengue on the right, Bindon, and Abbey as captain in the middle. Here's where it gets interesting. Guinness Walker is brought back in from the Coldies on the left-hand side. In front of those two, you've got Savage and Wing. Then you've got Elliot on the right-hand side and Nibs on the left. And then Iha Bitterman and Smith up front. On the bench, okay, so kind of amongst the subs, Boyce Clark, Mola, Yeardon, Ajara, who remember hasn't played for a very, very long time at this club, Kamara, Vickers and Ballard. I mean, that squad is good enough to compete at the top level of this league.
Oh, yeah.
100%, right? But what is most exciting about that is that midfield is really, you know, without being just ridiculous but and hyperbolic, as I said earlier, that's mouth-watering, isn't it?
Nibs,
Savage, Wing and Elliot. I mean, that's ridiculous as a midfield, right?
Yeah, no, it's good, and they're also versatile players, right? Who can play in a few different positions. Like we could probably play Wing and Elliot basically in every position on that in that four in the middle, and I think that we basically have at this point. Nibs appears to have nailed down a position on the left hand side, but yeah, other than that, there's lots of other players who could come in and do a job. Obviously, Rashisha can close games out well. He's got good energy. So, yeah, I think, like you say, like and we were kind of talking about this earlier in the pod too, but from a midfield and attacking perspective, it's encouraging. There's a lot of good players. Just got to get that defense right with, I mean, like you're saying, Nesta Guinness Walker at left back. I'm taking a look at the poll now. Looks like Clinton Mola was about 20 points down. Nesta Guinness Walker with 45%, Clinton Mola with 25%, and Maddie Carson with 18%. I'm somewhat surprised by that.
Well, question the Simon though, haven't you? This is coming a week where we've lost to Cambridge, and no disrespect to them, but like a lot of fans would have been looking at it going, hold on a minute. And that's when I say, we've got to get used to this league now. It's not, we should be beating them or whatever. Like, these are the teams we're playing. We have to beat and compete literally with what's in front of us. The Carson thing and the left back in general did interest me. The other thing there is that there's no Hutchinson. There's no McIntyre even in the squad. Obviously, Holmes is not going to feature because he's been frozen out realistically. There's no other way to put that. And, you know, there are other players in there as well that would probably be looking at it again, hold on a minute, what about me? So, you know, Wareham, a lot of people have been clamouring for him. And I think in general, any football fan is always really good at looking at what they don't have and going, right, they're going to make a difference. So, you know, it is ultimately down to one man, and that is Sellers to make this work. But, you know, if that, it won't happen, because obviously Smith is a fair number away and there's other knocks. I don't know how far or close to action Wing and Ajari are, but if that's the team that starts against Bolton, you're going to be delighted, you're going to be excited by that team. Yeah
And I think that what you said about no Hutchinson too is worth touching on there, because I mean, if we can get those four midfielders operating together, I think that's really going to improve our build-up play, and I think it's going to improve as well our ability to take shots from outside the box, to actually get goals from the midfield. I think that Hutchinson has been reasonable so far. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, because one of those players.
Sim used the word last year to describe Andy Yeardon all the time as fine.
Yeah.
You know, he's a 5 or 6 every game.
Yeah.
Hutchinson, you know, if he could avoid getting booked every game, you know, he's a bookmaker's nightmare, to be honest, because you go, right, bang. 10 quid on
he got himself in a tasty little thing with Michael Morrison at 1.2, which I love that from a Reading perspective. Like, that was fun.
You know, elevating him higher up the pitch, I think, is a good shout, because actually, you know, with all you know, the best in the world, the pace isn't there and it's probably never been there, but he makes a mistake, there's still recovery. When he was doing that in defence, that's it. The next stop is Goal City, right? So having him further up, I think, is a positive. But it was just really interesting to see that, you know, he wasn't featured in that.
And I think that kind of speaks to why you went wing back, though, right? Like, the idea of putting Hutchinson further up, it can solve some of Hutchinson's problems. But in terms of, like, the best Reading squad, I don't think it involves Hutchinson currently. I would prefer to have Savage going back and collecting the ball from the defense and pushing out, whereas Hutchinson was the person stepping back into the build-up play, to help that. So if we have wing, we have a player who can go forward more, who is more astute, is more experienced in that department. I'd rather use Savage in the spot that Hutchinson's been in for the most part this year. I think Sellers is just basically waiting until the physical side of Charlie's game develops, and then Hutchinson won't have much more use in the team. Personally, is my opinion, which feels really harsh on a player who, again, has done nothing particularly wrong for us other than get injured.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. You know, I've banged the drum so many times with Hutchinson, and you know, that pre-season he had of us last season, you know, I watched most of those pre-season games. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was absolutely superb. But it just probably hasn't worked out the way that he wanted, you know, and obviously the problems that we had last season, it's just not been ideal for him. So, yeah, anyway, I thought that was a really interesting poll. So thanks for RFC Latest for running that one. And, you know, obviously if you voted, it was just really interesting to look at the results from our point of view to see that. Just to wrap off this section, the women had their first home game. There's quite a few people down at the Whitley Bowl, as I like to call it. I like the SEL's all right as a company, but
oh god, it's always the Medeiros game to me.
Well, yeah, just, you know, whatever, the Berkshire Arena, I don't know, whatever we call it. And we had, I say we, But Abby was down there, and she kind of just gave us a few little snippets to use. So thank you to Abby for that. Obviously 0-0 against Charlton, who fairly well established club at this level. It's a pretty good result. They're unbeaten in two games now with a new management duo who came in sort of very close to the start of the season. So very little time to prepare, really. Ultimately, kind of very, very defensive performance, which kept Charlton at bay for crucial moments in the game. Abby kind of mentioned that Brooke Hendricks was absolutely fantastic in terms of a defending point of view. I think realistically, and where have we had this before, but they're crying out for a centre forward who's going to chuck in a little bit of pace, really. Over relying on Charles Gard, who obviously was then sent off, which was, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was just ridiculous. Like the
Okay.
sending was just absurd. But anyway, under a lot of pressure when she went off, I think, and from the highlights that I saw, we kind of just lacked a little bit of urgency in the transitions. Again, where have we heard that? But like,
Right.
in terms of the management team, they're going to have to work on that because, pacier teams and more clinical teams are going to take us apart, basically. But I think overall, the general feeling was good. Abby points out that Lily Woodham is the ideal candidate for captain, and she is a good player. Obviously plays for Wales or has played for Wales a number of times, but certainly the games that I saw her last season, very, very vocal, very athletic, had kind of a few little injury problems and things, but she just doesn't stop for kind of the 90 minutes. And I think it was a really, really sensible choice to make her captain because she's going to galvanize those players and ultimately toughen up. And I think, Abby's kind of bit at the end was, we haven't had as a club kind of defensive resilience for a long time. And she kind of pointed out that was a game we probably would have lost last season. We didn't do that. And you could argue, okay, it's slightly lesser opposition, they're not internationals or the rest of it. But ultimately, much like the men, the women are where they are, they've been relegated. The confidence is low. They didn't do very well at all last season. Management changes. There's been a lot of players leave. Players come in. Even one's joined today, actually. So I think ultimately that there's a lot of positives to be had within that performance and the team in general. We've got the management duo in a couple of weeks' time, so we'll kind of ask them some questions. And if you have any questions about how the women's team has developed and kind of style of play and tactics and everything else, then just send those through because we'll use those in a couple of weeks. Next up, they've got London City Lionesses away this weekend. I've assumed tickets are available through the normal channels, but it'd be good for them to kind of keep this, I say, unbeaten run. Obviously, they've drawn two games in a row, which, as I say, given the season last season, that's a positive for them. So
Another
that's
Reading squad with like an entirely new, or another Reading team with like an entirely new squad, right? So like
yeah.
2 points from the first two games unbeaten. Nothing too negative yet, right? Just keep it going in the right direction.
And you know what? Like off the pitch, they're trying to do so much. Like with the match day and kind of offering ticket discounts, everything else. So as I've always said, they're part of our club, and it whatever your views on the women's game, for me, I always want them to succeed. That's where I'm at. So yeah, under 21s, they lost to Arsenal, as we said earlier, 3-0. Bit of a slapping, really. I know there's quite a few Reading fans down there watching that game, but having read the report, it kind of just seems like a massive departure from the Newcastle game. Obviously, as we said earlier, Nestor Guinness Walker was brought back into the team, so I hope that now these players have signed, they've still got something to prove and want to continue to improve within that team and kind of push towards the first team, really, because as you said, Ross, like they're intermingling at the moment in terms of the youth and how styles of play are starting to knit together. They're up against Blackburn Rovers in the, I don't know why I said Rovers, I could just say Blackburn. So
Ah, oh,
Blackburn.
Rovers, that's good. It's an uncommon,
It is, isn't
it's
it?
a good
Yeah.
one.
You
We
don't
don't
get
get
many
Rovers.
Doncaster, I guess, Doncaster Rovers, but
Oh,
yeah.
yeah, I like it.
But they play at the Select Carlisle on Monday night, 7 p.m. They are in the PL Cup against the Blackburn. So I guess you can go down for free and watch it. It was a good atmosphere, actually, the last game I went to. It was good. Can't get any food there, though.
No.
So a couple of lads in front of me nipped out at half time to a chicken shop I won't mention for legal reasons, and just brought back a sharing bucket. And I just thought that was class.
Yeah, it's a good idea, honestly, isn't it? No, yeah, keep an eye out for, I think it's Charlie Wellens, is it, who came in? I think that's another one that some of the people who were taking a look at the players that were coming in for the under 23, under 21 squad or whatever, I think that they were like, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not sure if he's going to be one that's actually with it with that squad, or is going to be one who's going to be taking a step into Salazar's squad. So might be worth taking a look at that. And even if you can't, Noah Hunt had a good yell at his charges during the Arsenal game last week, so maybe you'll get to see Noah Hunt in true 2011 mode.
Honestly, he's very, very, I mean, we know that from last season, but he's very, very feisty on the touchline, you know, and I think that's a real positive in terms of how he's wanted to lead them and how he's wanted to galvanise them. So, yeah, really, really good stuff. We're going to, I'll say preview, there isn't a game for like 2 weeks, but we're going to head into the preview as such and just talk a little bit about some of the internationals that are coming up and how our players are going to feature in those.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Right, Ross, to my knowledge, I'm just going to have a look quickly because I did save it somewhere. We've got six players who are on international duty over the next week and a bit. We have got... well, my big man, Charlie Savage, he's playing for the Wales under-21s, which is great for me. They're going to be interested to see how they get on in their game. Ben Elliott, as we all know, play for Cameroon, and they are up against Burundi on the September the 12th, which is what, Tuesday? Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday. I mean, we got players all over the world now. You know, Kanaya Boyce-Clark, he is with Jamaica, the reggae boys. They got an amazing kit. You know, we talked about kits at the
start. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Their kit is quite a piece of work.
I remember thinking the women's Jamaica kit during the World Cup was pretty nice too. They got a good color scheme going on there.
Yeah. Following the footsteps of Michael Hector and, of course, Gareth McCleary, who turned up for the Reggae Boys as well.
And Liam Moore.
Moore
in there too.
You know what? He's on a podcast.
Oh.
I saw that and I saw it advertised. I can't remember what the name of the podcast was.
Okay.
I'm sure if you just stick it into Google, Liam Moore podcast to be on there, but I think that will make quite interesting listening for Reading.
He's quite a candid guy from what I can remember. I mean, like whether you like or dislike what he says, he's always been somewhat candid. So I'm sure that's an interesting listen.
He's going to speak his brains anyway on that one. Anyway, we digress. But Jamaica up against Honduras and Haiti.
Haiti. I'll be watching that one for sure. The CONCACAF qualifiers over here are great because obviously with Europe and the qualifiers, there are some big teams in Europe that will just dominate qualifying. But like France, Germany, Italy, Italy haven't made tournaments recently, but so I don't know. But the CONCACAF qualifying is great because a lot of those teams are similar in talent level, right? So Mexico and the US, it's always a ding dong of a game. I've seen all kinds of results in those games. So yeah, it'll be fun to I'll get to check out a little bit of who is that? Sorry, who's playing in Jamaica? Boyce-Clark.
He's been called up to the main squad. Whether or not he gets minutes, I don't know. Difficult being a goalkeeper, isn't it? You either play or you don't. So we'll see how that goes. Gerald Dorsett, I didn't know this. I completely missed this. But he is basically pledged his allegiance to Montserrat.
Okay, right. I was trying to remember in my head if it was Barbados or...
Yeah, and I can just sense that people are now grabbing an atlas or a globe or something and just going, where the hell's that? But he is playing Barbados, or his team are playing Barbados. Dominican Republic as well. So again, a kind of half, tournament or qualifiers that are going on there. Charlie Savage, we mentioned. Big games for Wales under-21s, really. We've got Liechtenstein and Lithuania, and they are, you know, the first games in Newport, and that is tomorrow, weirdly, at 4:30.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm still on the Montserrat thing with Gerald Dorsett. I have a Google of it because it is a fascinating island. There's an exclusion zone on half the island. You can't go there because of volcanic activity. What a place.
Yeah, Basil Chuma, he is in action for Malta. They're under 21s. We talked about him a couple of pods ago when he scored that really well. He scored the goal and the goalie completely messed it up.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can continue that. They've got Spain under 21s. Bit tricky that, saying that with kind of gritted teeth and Hungary as well, which again will be an interesting game. And finally, we've got Don Ballard, who I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to be able to watch these games with him on television or not, or highlights, but I'm hoping that he, well, he was in action actually yesterday. So we're recording this on Thursday. They lost, England under 19s lost to Germany under 19s in a friendly. But he then plays, or his team are in action against Switzerland under 19s in Spain as a friendly.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You get that sometimes, don't you? Weird. Like, I feel like Crystal Palace's ground is great for like a Ecuador versus Ghana friendly or something like that for no real good reason. Or maybe there's large diasporas that are there to watch.
Yeah,
it.
Potentially. So, potentially.
They did a Portugal-Brazil game out here once down in Foxborough, just south of Boston. And then they filled the stadium for that. So, I mean, the people are there. You just got to take it to them.
Yeah, exactly. And from my point of view, I'm going to be preoccupied with Wales and Korea Republic, which is 7:45 tonight, which is Thursday. So, we'll see how we get on with those games. But I think it's good experience. They're all young players, aren't they?
And it's great that they're actually taking the chance to go and play for in the international break. Like, they're making the decision, like, all right, fine, I'm not going to get into the England under 20s or whatever. I'm going to go and play for my dad's country or where I was born or whatever. Like, it's great. I think it's always good to try and these players are wanting to play more football.
In the unlikely event that they are listening to this whilst traveling or on camp, we hope you get what you need out of it, come back safe and sound, don't get injured. We'll see you back in RG2 next week at some point, really. That kind of just wraps it up for us. We've got another pod coming up on Monday. We're kind of back into a groove. We've got Ryan Jeffries coming on, who's going to be our first guest, really, in terms of him being on the pod. And we're going to kind of have a chat about sort of where we are as a squad, but really kind of deep dive into Bolton preview and also kind of where we're at with the owner and kind of the vibe around that, really. So tune in for that one next week. Thank you so much for listening. Ross, thanks for your time as always.
Yeah,
what's the temperature there now in Maine at the moment? Where are you at?
Temperature. You guys have got it warmer in the UK than I've got it over here in America right now. I'm having a nice, it's hot. It's 25 degrees your time, but it's your speed, but it ain't too bad. So, and I've got air conditioning. So I feel for all you guys back in the UK.
I massively appreciate you using Celsius and not Fahrenheit because of that.
I know how to translate, my brain's mostly American at this stage, but I can still step back into that old life.
No, I appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners do as well. Where I am currently, it's like 30 degrees, but it feels about 38 in this kind of room that I'm in. So I'm going to go and call off. Have a really good weekend, whatever you're doing, watching internationals. I know some of you are traveling with England, so enjoy that. Stay safe, and we will see you. Or you'll hear us again, rather, next Monday when we talk about Bolton and all things Reading FC. Come on, you Arles. It's